everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Welcome back, everybody. This is part two of a two-part interview with Evan DeMarco on brain health. If you haven't listened to part one, for sure, you will want to go back and listen to that before you start part two. This is a pretty in-depth episode. Make sure you listen to part one first. Those are all the things that you're putting a ton of money into, and you're buying $5 here at 7-Eleven for those pills and those, you know, jack me up little shots of whatever and emergencies to kind of get the cold away. You're putting a lot of money into a lot of cheap things to keep sickness and illness and maybe try to get yourself to sleep. Whereas when you do invest in your health, it will start to pay off and you'll be doing a lot. So it balances out, but a lot of people will not take the step to get better health because of money. Do you see that a lot? Where, I mean, we have people, I can think of 10 women that have probably written into Fitfluential in the past month and said, I want to get my blood work checked. It's the money that it sounds so expensive that it's going to be $500 to get my blood work done. I just can't. But yet on the other hand, they're saying, my life sucks. I've gained 50 pounds. My husband and I haven't had sex in 6 months. I'm embarrassed to go to the beach. I am bitchy all the time. I've lost my job. I'm depressed, but I don't want to spend money to get better. Do you see that a lot?
Absolutely. And my response is always the same, is the bill comes due at the end. It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter what you spend because you're going to spend it eventually, right? You know, so my question is, do you want to live the life of your dreams now, or do you want to be sick and overweight and unhappy and then wait for that inevitable, oh, you've got cancer, you've got some type of thing, you know, it's the bill always comes due at the end. So if you take advantage of the opportunities now in your life to get the diagnostic test, to get the blood work, and then start down the path of getting yourself healthy, living that healthy, you know, existence, you know, experiencing the truest trajectory of your life, well, then it doesn't matter, right? I'd rather spend $100 now on the supplements that are going to have a profound impact in my life than spend $1,000 in a deductible for my chemo treatment 10 years from now. Or, you know, so it's, you're going to spend it, right? You know, recognize that your health, your life is an investment. What do you want out of it? If you want to be sick, if you want to be overweight, if you want to be miserable, well, then just keep doing what you're doing, right? It's the definition of insanity. If you want to, you know, as what is it, Whitman says, if you want to go suck the marrow out of life, well, spend the time now, spend the money now, because you know what? It's going to make a difference. And I would rather know that, you know, I'd rather know that I have those opportunities now. You know, as Mark Twain said, at the end of your days, you're more likely to regret the things you didn't do than the things you did do. So you know, do that. And that's, I look at my grandparents as kind of this cautionary tale, right? It's that old school philosophy of you work, you work, you work, you retire, and then you kind of go enjoy your retirement years. Nothing's guaranteed. And my grandparents, like 2 years after they retired, they had this elaborate cross country, you know, kind of the quintessential retirement plan. Well, he's diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. So that retirement goal, that retirement plan instantly was cut short, and they spent the rest of their days in doctor's offices, in nursing homes. never experiencing the trajectory of their existence. Wow. Now is the perfect opportunity. Well, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's right now. Take advantage of the opportunities of the tests of the market that we, you know, that exists to us as consumers, as patients, as you know, crusaders in our own health and wellness journey, to go out and spend a couple bucks now, knowing that it's going to pay off dividends. And you know, look at investments, right? You know, they always talk about when you're investing for your retirement. If you start investing when you're 20, it's a lot easier to reach your retirement goals than if you start investing when you're 40. So it's the compounding effect. And I think, what is Einstein's quote? The greatest human invention is compounded interest, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, invest and compound now so you have all of that later to play with.
So true. It's so true. And I'm realizing, like, okay, first of all, I have one question to ask you. I think we have like 8 minutes left. Do you have, because I want to ask me these other questions, and then I want to ask you a couple more. Can you go a little bit over or no?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to keep going. All right. So we hit supplements. I want to hit diet, exercise, social, and then specifically like what you see quite often in blood work, what it indicates about brain health. But when it comes to diet, and you're working with somebody who has, you know, is looking to improve brain health and has some issues, what are some of the, again, maybe like general things that most of us should be looking at when it comes to diet and the relation to our brain health? Is this stuff like caffeine and fake food, or is it something completely different?
Sugar's the devil. Just let's start with that. Now, one thing that I also recommend, I will start with that, because I don't think that sugar is good for anybody, period. Now, when we get further down the road of diet, one of the things that I really like to look at is the microbiome diagnostic test. And Viome, V-I-O-M-E, has definitely the best one on the market. And it's kind of interesting, right? You spend $300 or $400, you send your shit in to a lab, and they send you back this comprehensive diagnostic test on all of the things that are going on in your gut. And with that test, you get food recommendations on what, you know, on what you should be eating, what you should not be eating. Now, perfect example is everyone thinks kale is healthy, right?
I hate kale.
I do too. And it's just like, you know, it's just one of those things. I eat it and then I look at it and I'm like, wow, that was just really unimpressive. So it turns out, like when I did my microbiome test, kale is not necessarily good for me. So again, it's we kind of get caught up in these diet fads.
Yes.
And whether it's the high fat, low fat, whatever it is, you know, we have evolved scientifically to the point where we can look at each unique individual and say, this is what you should be eating. This is how you improve your microbiome, improve your gut. And when that gut improves, when, you know, with all of your immune system really kind of residing there, it's amazing what can happen. So it's kind of funny, right? I did this for my 4-year-old daughter. And it instantly came back with a couple key points. She was eating too much microwave food. And isn't that crazy that the level that we can test now says that it knows she's eating too much microwave food? Wow. And that her oral hygiene wasn't what it should have been. So as a parent, really? I'm like, oh shit, you know, like, wow, okay. Parents fail, you know, hashtag parent fail. So making these small corrections, right? It's all about the small corrections and just, you know, so I always recommend get the test. That's one you absolutely should do. The low fat diet, I think, is bad. So, you know, let's kind of move past that as we get into the low fat diet. I think that's just bad. We recognize the inherent benefits of, you know, of a higher fat, good fat diet. I always joke, this is one of the stories that I tell, is my best friend of like 30 years, this is about 10 years ago, decides he's going to get married. Pops the question, she says yes. And he's like, oh wow, I need to get in shape for the wedding. So he calls me up, he's like, hey, can you help me? I'm like, sure, you know, I'll come by tomorrow morning, I'll pick you up, we'll go to the gym, we'll start on a workout plan, and then I can help you with your diet. So I walk in the morning, and he's sitting on the floor at his coffee table with ESPN on the TV. And I look down and he's eating a plate of bacon and cheddar cheese. And I'm looking at him like, we're going to the gym. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he just looks up to me. He's like, well, it's on the Atkins diet.
Of course.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, isn't that the guy that just died of a heart attack? So part
it's
of it
still
is,
out there though, you know, Evan, I mean, people write into us at Fitfluential, and I'll say one of the most common questions that we get, PS sidebar, people, when you have questions, we say this at the end of the show, we have an email, askff@fitfluential.com, so that when we have shows like this, we can bring this up and we can address specific questions and so on and so forth. But one of the number one questions people ask is, well, I need to lose weight. I'm told I just need to go gluten-free and really low carb, but I can, and then it's usually, but I can have all the fat and bacon and cheese that I want, right? Seriously, we get that all the time. And I just, to me, I don't understand why people aren't getting the disconnect of the point in eating is to find something, it's a way to live. Like if you're going into, I need to lose weight and get healthier, and where, what can I do so I can still gorge myself on something? You're probably not in the right mindset. Am I right?
Exactly. And it's all about mindset, right? You know, bacon and cheese are luxuries. Those are gluttonous, you know, those are gluttonous foods, right? You know, it's all about sacrifice, and that's what people don't get. And I think that's always, that's our job, right? That's our job to really instill in people the understanding of like, you want this. It's not what are you willing to do? It's what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice to say, I want this life. I want this body. I want this health. And sometimes that means giving up bacon and cheese, you know, like it's not rocket science. It's just that mindset of if we can reset people's thinking into like, what am I willing to give up? Because then once you do and you make that a habit, it's so much easier. Then you're like, oh, bacon and cheese. I mean, like now I see bacon and cheese. I'm like, bah, it's just gross.
I can't agree with you on cheese, but that's okay. I also know that I can be I'm sensitive to dairy. I'm not, you know, I can't, it's not lactose intolerant, but I have to definitely, like, I know what dairy things I can have, and they do have to be moderated. And again, that's what I'm willing to do. The other thing, back to what you said about your friend and getting married, this is just my Kelly Alexa commentary, food for thought. I do not understand when people get married and are like, and there's all these publications, body for bride, get in shape for the wedding. It's like, in my opinion, if you're in a couple situation and you all of a sudden decide you're going to tie the knot, move in together, whatever, and that's when you go, oh, let me get it. Why wouldn't you want to get in shape year round? Like my man friend and I are both, we have a focus on health and on our fitness. And we were both kind of talking. I think the stereotypical thing happens when you start getting into a really great relationship, you're enjoying a lot more going out. And I was cooking for him and he's like, I've gained a certain amount of weight since we've been together. It's time to tone it back. And luckily we see it as a lifestyle, not like why do people want to get in shape for one day and then they go back? It's almost like people that compete and they get off stage and gain 10 pounds. People, if you're listening, make yourself a lifer. Like stop looking at things for an event or a vacation or whatever. Give yourself a break. You'll have better success if you're looking at making this for life. Just trust me on that one. One quick question before we go on to exercise and then social spiritual. You mentioned a company and a food testing company because we want to make sure we link up to this. And I was Googling it, I'm not going to lie, while we were talking. Is it the name of the company is Biome, B-I-O-M-E, or is there another name? Because I can.
No, it's Viome, V with a Victor, I-O-M-E.
That's why. Okay. So we will link up V-I-O-M-E. Okay. I had no idea you could get that kind of testing done. So again, you schooled me as well. I love what you said about sugar too. And we'll leave this for another show because for everybody listening, when we say a good, you know, don't go for a low fat diet, that doesn't mean that a healthy fat diet means eat all the fat in the world. It's, you know, it's all about moderation. So we'll cover those things on other episodes, but I actually had somebody a year or so ago who was advising me from a health perspective to take in so much healthy fat, I gained 4 inches on my waist. And
holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, let me give you an example of what not to do, because there's a lot of bullshit that goes out in fitness magazines and health magazines, and I'm just going to call it like it is. But when you hear words like, well, just go paleo and you don't have to count your macros or count your calories and it's not calories in, calories out, that's BS. You have to watch how much you eat. period. And this guy was telling me, oh, well, you have adrenal fatigue and you have hypothyroidism. So he literally had guided me and told me, and he came across as authoritative. I've learned my lesson since then, but he had me, I swear to God, Evan, waking up and saying, I want you within 30 minutes, supposedly this was going to reset my leptin. I want you to have a plate of oysters with no crackers, none of the good stuff, just a plate of oysters. Then after that, I had two bulletproof coffees, both with two egg yolks, pastured egg yolks, about a huge honking tablespoon of grass-fed butter and coconut oil. And then a breakfast of three eggs and four slices of bacon. And then lunch, which was usually some kind of red meat, tons of guacamole. And then in between that, something with more guacamole. And then something for dinner that was a high fat, you know, almost no carb situation. And I kept getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. I feel like I should be doing some cardio. And he's like, don't work out. Working out will stress your adrenals. I just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So people, nothing should be in excess, and also to pay attention and get a credentialed expert to guide you, learn from me. But have you heard of other kind of whack jobs out there that are giving those kinds of license to eat everything as long as you're paleo or as long as you're clean or as long as it's gluten-free? Do you see that a lot still and just want to cringe?
So the 16th century Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto, who's basically famous for coining the 80-20 philosophy, that philosophy absolutely applies to the health and wellness industry. And unfortunately, 80% of the people who exist in this industry are freaking quacks. They're like, you know, and there's the 20%. But, you know, again, like, it's balanced, right? I mean, like, I think of that, like oysters. I'm like, what do your heavy metals look like after eating oysters every morning? You know, like
I was a little bitchy.
I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, granted that they're supposed to be a natural aphrodisiac, but if you're not doing the cardio that goes along with the aphrodisiac, well then come on. but let's back into that. Right. My thing is, there is an abundance of information out there. There's so much, and everyone's got their, like, this is my thing. You know, this is what I'm known for. This is what I'm good at. Well, when you start taking a guru approach to health and you create this blanket philosophy that applies to all people, eventually that's not going to hold up. So I always suggest is find someone who's going to, again, look at the data. It's all about the math, right? If I look at this data and I can say, here's what I see wrong. Your vitamin D is low, you've got iron deficiencies, you've got hormonal imbalances, and then you start to address those on an individual basis. That's what you need. You know, people are just going to be like, well, I'm looking at you and you've told me a couple things, so go eat oysters every morning and you'll be just fine. You know, those are the people you should run away from. Don't walk, don't jog, sprint, get your cardio in, go as fast as you can.
I absolutely will use myself as an example. You know, I learned many lessons. I mean, the past couple of years have had a lot of, it's been a cathartic journey, and I've learned life lessons that have forever changed me. And that was one of them that showed me, like, I was so desperate to have someone help me. And I listened to somebody who, you know, again, had bad intentions, and I think just liked the attention of women that he thought, well, you know, they're going to, and there's a lot of those, the bad 80%, there's a lot of trainers. I had a trainer who was like that and gave me really bad information. And I think he just liked me being desperate and being dependent on him. And I remember he used to say, when I give you this diet, your stomach's going to be so hungry, it's going to feel like it's eating itself. And that's the way you should feel to lose weight. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I better cut out eating more and just have tilapia and broccoli. It was totally a bro science thing. Lessons learned. But I'm using myself to teach you guys, so I'm happy to do it.
Well, again, look at what it takes to get to it. You know, I've got great friends that are trainers, but, you know, I could go online right now and take a test and be a trainer. You know, that's not, you know, what you want is someone who has to go through the hard knocks of education to get to a place where they can start to understand what your needs are and then create a plan that addresses those needs. And that doesn't happen when you're a trainer. And look at most of them, the 80% are going to be, just do this, listen to what I say. They're not you know, what is the old saying? It's, you know, God gave you two ears and one mouth so you can listen twice as much as you speak. If someone's not listening to you and understanding and creating a plan based off of your needs and your tests and everything like that, but they're just spewing something, well, that's a guru. And anyone who's a guru, run.
That, you know what? That's actually, you made a really good point. And I'm going to say that because in my experience, the people that have helped me the most from a doctor perspective, from a trainer perspective, I actually had a consult with a fantastic dietitian this morning. The people that have helped me the most are the ones that are not going to, number one, rush and go, okay, I just met you, sign here, pay me $700, and here's what I've got, and I'm not even concerned about any of your issues. The ones that have helped me the most have been the ones that want to do just that. Listen, find out, do a deep dive, find out all of my history, right? Whitney Jones was my first trainer. She was the one that pushed me to get blood work in the first place. And I was like, just give me a program. Just tell me how much avocado to eat. She's like, Kelly, you've got bigger problems. And my doctor, you know, I didn't go to visit him a year ago and have him say, okay, we've got 30 days to get you, you know, losing weight, fix your hypothyroidism and adrenal fatigue. It's all going to be better. He's like, let's start here and let's keep tweaking and testing. And it's all based on blood work. And the dietitian I talked to this morning, she's like, okay, I'm going to send you over a questionnaire and I want you to give me a detailed history. And then I'm going to review that. And then I'm going to have questions. And then I'm going to spend 10 days developing something for you. And I do remember, for everybody listening, my first thought was 10 days. I have to wait 10 days for my diet. Here's the thing. It's going to be right. And it's going to be for me. So to mirror what Evan said, when you're finding somebody who's going to help you in these areas, if they're not asking you a lot of questions about you and they're just like, pay here, buy my product that everybody else buys, that's something to run away from. So what a great point. What a great way to say it. Let's move on to exercise. What are some of the things from a brain health perspective and probably just lifestyle? I can guess what you're going to say, but what do you see people doing wrong and what should people be doing better? Again, for everybody listening, generally speaking, like, hey, these are the things that aren't working and that you typically see people doing and things that you typically are suggesting to clients to get started with.
Okay, great question, right? And again, this is never a one-size-fits-all on it. And that's always been I'm not a guru, but my guru thing is everyone's unique, everyone's an individual, so there is no one-size-fits-all, which opens up the potential of doing everything that we're talking about, which is trying to individualize your health and wellness journey. So when we talk about brain health and exercise, brain-derived neurotrophic factor is one of the things that really comes out of exercise. So I'm a big believer in resistance training, but resistance training that gets your heart rate up and stays consistent. So it's kind of the high intensity interval training. Mm-hmm. When we look at aging, healthy aging, and whatever, you know, people can have their own issues with vernaculars like this, but you know, aging healthy so that you still have everything that you want in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, that's resistance training. You need muscle mass. And one of the big issues is that we kind of get into these, you know, yoga-based lifestyles and a lot of things where, you know, there's great exercise out there, but it's not doing what we need to do to make sure that we have that muscle mass moving forward. Now, one of the things that inevitably happens too is sarcopenia, age-related muscle protein breakdown. We're going to get to a certain age where our muscles don't respond to exercise the way that they once did. Or they respond to exercise, but as a result of our inability to synthesize amino acids, they don't recover as well as they once did. So we need to be stressing our muscles constantly, resistance training, high intensity, making sure that we're doing and making sure that we're stressing our muscles and recovering properly. But when we do that, we increase levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which actually helps with nerve conduction velocity, cell-to-cell communication, all the things that keeps our brain firing the way that it should be. So there really is that mind-body connection when it comes to exercise and brain health.
Makes sense. I also want to make sure I look up after we talk brain-derived neurotropic. Is that me saying that? Brain-derived neuro... I want to say that fast and sound cool saying it. Brain-derived neurotropic factor. Is that the right way to say it?
Yep. Brain-derived neurotropic factor. BDNF.
You say it so mellifluously. I'm saying it like, blah, blah, blah. But this all makes sense. And it's funny because I'm fortunate enough to have been a fitness fanatic for quite a while. And I have learned the importance of, you know, getting rid of, I've been a cardio bunny my whole life. I do love cardio conceptually. Like I love the idea of back in the day, the first thing I ever did before Body for Life was hours of advanced Tybo. I'm not lying. I enjoyed it. I really do. But I also know that that kind of just excessive cardio and no strength training, that's not the way to go. And sadly, those types of, you see a lot of that. I don't mean to point anybody out, but I guess I'm going to. You know, Beachbody has a lot of programs and they're very, I think some of their programs are great, but they have a lot of cardio only programs and they have these transformations and it kind of upsets me because when they say, this is what you're going to do in 15 to 20 minutes a day and nothing else, and you're going to look shredded. It's like, it doesn't really work that way. And what you are going to be is completely depleted and exhausted. So I do love that you brought up both strength training and high intensity interval training as well. And those again are some other deep dive topics we can go into. But we'll link up to some of these things that were mentioned. Lastly, you mentioned that again, your four pillars, supplements, diet, exercise, and then lastly, social and spiritual. And I'm guessing this is where maybe the balance comes in. I think this is probably the area for me I've been lacking in the most. I have had in the past massive amounts of stress, zero balance, and not enough recovery. Is this what this area of the, or this pillar is about?
Absolutely. And I think when I talk about this pillar, there's a couple key points that I really like to bring out. The first is, what are you doing for yourself? When we look at brain health, when we look at just systemic health in general, you know, we see such high levels of C-reactive protein, homocysteine, all of these inflammatory markers, the stress, the anxiety. And one of the constants that I always see and I hear about when people start talking about this is, oh my God, like I woke up and I checked my phone and it's like my boss sent me this email, or I checked my phone and it's like, did you see that post on Facebook or Instagram? And we've created an environment where out of the gate, the first thing that we're doing is we're reaching for that stupid device and elevating our levels of anxiety to the point that our bodies can't recover. So I'm going to, here's my other guru thing. Don't check your phone. Wake up, give yourself 30 minutes, an hour, meditate, journal, you know, drink a cup of coffee, read the newspaper. Create an environment and a program, a daily ritual that's all about you. And don't allow yourself to jump into that level of anxiety. That's, I mean, it's really fight or flight, right? Yeah. You know, it's no different than waking up to a saber-toothed tiger in your tent, you know, 5,000, 10,000 years ago. It's that same, it's a reactive response. And so now, whether it's your boss emailing you or FOMO because you didn't go to the right party last night that you saw on Facebook, you know, Shut off the damn phone. And then, you know, one of the other things we talk about too, and I love this, we talk about in the book is, you know, if you want to make sex part of your morning ritual, you know, what you can actually accomplish by having sex first thing in the morning is amazing for your brain, for your body. And I always joke, it's like, if you shut off your phone, you get laid first thing in the morning, and then you get into work and your boss is yelling at you, what does it matter? You're like, well, do you know how I started my day off? Really, there's not a whole lot that happens after that that's going to kind of bring you down.
So true.
Now, one of the other things that I think we really look at when it's social is that community. And community has really taken on a new definition as of late, one that I really don't like, because community in a lot of, I think when people hear that, they instantly almost think of their social media communities, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've created this environment where we're connected digitally, but we're detached physically. And that detachment, I think, is causing a lot of problems. It is anxious. It's kind of isolationist. It's really Fair not enough. A place where people feel that sense of calm and relaxation and support that they need. So my thing is you have to create that community in your life, that circle of friends and family where you go to a place and everyone shuts off their freaking phone and you have real adult conversations, not things that happen via text. I mean, literally people have entire relationships via text and emojis. That's not a relationship. That's, you know, that's digital interaction that sometimes leads to, you know, bodily fluid exchange, I think, is kind of the you know, the modern approach to dating or relationships. It's create the community, because when you do that and you look at some of these places in the world where people have you know, greater life expectancies where they're, you know, when you look at some of these longevity projects, that's a big part of it. It's that community. And whether it's social, whether it's spiritual, a church, you know, a book club, I mean, it doesn't matter, but part of a healthy existence has to be about connecting with people on a real basis, having real conversations, listening, not just waiting for your chance to talk, and you know, being a support system and having that support system for other people.
God, what you said is so true. And it makes me think of when I first had, this happened actually probably the end of last year before I ended up meeting my amazing man friend, because it became very clear to me how much of my life was work, 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 work. You know, I started training with my trainer and he would ask on a Friday, he's like, so what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, nothing. And he's like, Kelly, you need to get out more. And then my therapist was like, you know, are you meeting men? Are you getting out? And I'm like, I remember saying to her and then to a couple of other friends, well, I'd love to go out, but who am I going to go out with? Because back to what you said, I have a tremendous sense of community with my business, right? With social media, but who was in my backyard and who could I go out to eat with? And the first thing I started doing was reaching out to my friend, Sherry. She's going to be on the show, actually. She's in the financial business and we're going to have a whole series on money management, because I think money is one of the biggest stressors to our health. And if you get comfortable talking about money, you can decrease that stress. Hence why we're going to have those types of folks on Fit Flangel Radio. But she's one of the people I'm like, okay, you've been asking me to go to lunch for a while. I'm going to start going out to lunch. And then I started I got on a dating site and I met physical people. You know, I mean, I met my man friend, but I've actually started going out and meeting physical people in my backyard and making friends and going out. And I think way too many of us are not waking up and looking at that and going, oh my God, all my friends are on my phone. So what a great point. And I love how you talked about, you know, the balance, and that we need to, when you refer to a morning ritual and getting rid of your phone and having that reactive, reactive reaction, people don't realize we're so in this country. I think we've made it like this glorious thing, our work, or if you have founded a company, or if you're in the startup world, like it's really cool to be hustling and entrepreneur and, you know, hashtag hustle and hashtag work all the time, hashtag no days off. I mean, that's like not cool. I mean, the reason other countries have such a better quality or better quality of life and health, they chill out, they take vacations, they don't have to worry as much about things like caffeine before bed because they're enjoying life, they get sleep, they don't work the insane hours that we do. So one of the biggest changes that helped me was just like you said, I stopped looking at my damn smartphone and I cut off looking at work emails after 6. And I had to get comfortable with that idea of if someone's emailed me, they can wait. Like, I run a fitness company. There's no such thing as an emergency in fitness, in my opinion. There's no, you know, I want to give my clients the best customer service I can, but I was in that reactive fight or flight. Oh my God, this person emailed me and I've got to get a hold of Lauren and she blah, blah, blah. Like, chill out. If you get back to somebody and you dropped the ball from a business perspective, you'll make it up. Give yourself a break. You're stronger to run a marathon if you've had some rest. If you never get off that treadmill of life, you're inevitably going to die. So we've got to focus more on rest. And back to what Evan said as well, having a morning ritual, guys and gals, I'm telling you, when I get up and I do just what he says, I don't touch my phone other than to, when I'm not with him, I do send my man friend a Bitmoji. I can't lie, Evan. So I do send him a good morning Bitmoji when he's not here. When he is here, we do practice cardio as a spiritual practice. Extra mobility work, that's what we refer to it as. So that's one of the things I do on my phone, but that's it. And then I go, I have my coffee. I do some readings in some books. Some of them are more philosophical in nature. Some are more spiritual. I say my prayers. I spend some time with God. I do meditation. That's what sets me up for the day. When I don't do that, I am a frazzled, reactive mess. When I do it religiously, I am able to handle stress in my business so much better. And people, you don't have to meditate for hours. You can do 5 or 10 minutes of meditation, use the Headspace app or use another app. There's tons of them. can make a game. Actually, I think if you get an Apple Watch, they've got a meditation app right on your watch. It's amazing. So these are really great tips. Evan, this has been such a great interview. I totally went way over. We're now doing this is a two-part episode now, but it was so worth it. Why don't we wrap up now and tell people where, number one, they can buy your new book. It's 30 Days to a Better Brain. Tell people where they can find your book, where they can find you online, and if they need to contact you as well.
Yeah, great. So 30 Days to a Better Brain, you can find that on Amazon. And it's also a free gift with purchase at Omax Health right now, which is actually launching the cognitive product that I developed. We've talked a little bit about that. So if you're really looking for better brain health, you can get a book and a supplement all in one spot at omaxhealth.com. You can catch me on Facebook, Evan DeMarco, and Instagram, Evan_DeMarco there. So, if people really want to reach out, just Google me. You'll find me. I am Googleable.
You're Googleable.
Googleable. Say that 10 times real fast.
Surprisingly, that's what I'm good at. It's the brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Well, see, I said that pretty.
There you go. You killed it.
I feel pretty damn awesome right now. I do. We will link up to Omax Health and obviously to your book and all of your links in the show notes on Fitfluential Radio. And that said, I do think that this warrants you coming back so that we can. I mean, if you've developed actually, a supplementation protocol that enhances everything we've been talking about, maybe we do part two, which is, next steps, and we can talk a little bit more in depth about that because I'd like to. So we'll talk about that offline. But thank you again, Evan. Thank you for going overboard. I know I took more of your time than we had originally planned, but I'm a talkaholic, so I can't help it. And thanks everybody for tuning in. Of course, as we mentioned, we'll have all of this linked up in the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any questions in general for us when we have Evan back on the show, obviously we encourage you to connect with him directly, get the book, and so on. We'll have more information. And I'll do my review of his book on fitfluential.com, and we'll probably hint, have a giveaway there with his book. So tune in for that. We'll link that up from the show notes as well. But if you have questions in general, you can also email those to podcast@fitfluential.com. If you have questions for us in general that you'd like us to cover on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and stay tuned. We'll see you next time on Fitfluential Radio. Thanks everybody for tuning in. This marks the end of this two-part interview with Evan DeMarco. I hope you enjoyed it. Of course, we will link up to everything referenced in the show notes at thekellyoshow.com. And we encourage you to connect directly with Evan by his book, et cetera, online. If you have any questions for me on this episode, on future episodes, on advertising opportunities, or to nominate somebody that you would like us to interview for the show in 2020, you can email me directly, kelly@kellyolexa.com, or simply fill out the contact me form on kellyolexa.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. And hopefully, if you're enjoying the show, you're already subscribed on iTunes. And if you have a moment and you haven't done so yet, we'd sincerely appreciate it if you would leave us a review on iTunes. As you know, if you listen to podcasts, the reviews are what help the shows get seen and heard by more people. And I would really appreciate it personally if you are enjoying what we're putting out there. Leave us a review. It should take you 2 or 3 minutes, and it really helps boost the show. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next time on The Kellyo Show.